Today is the auspicious occasion of Lord Balaram's appearance day. According to Vedic literature, Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, the source of all that be, including the source of different Vishnu tattvas. And Lord Balaram is Krishna's first expansion. In terms of their pastimes, Lord Balaram appears as the older brother of Krishna. During the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, you could say Krishna appeared as Lord Ram, and Balaram appeared as Lakshman. But of course, Ram's pastimes took place before Krishna's pastimes. And during Ram Lila, Lakshman had to do so many things that he didn't want to do. As the younger brother, he was obliged to do certain things by his older brother. Anyway, so that same personality who appeared as Lakshman resolved that in the future I will not appear as the younger brother, because he had to do so many things that were painful to him out of love. I mean, not painful to him personally, but out of love for Sita and Ram, he had to do things so he resolved that in my future appearances I will come first and act as the older brother. So in terms of pastimes, Balaram is the older brother of Krishna. Now, another secret or mystery is that these same two brothers, Krishna and Balaram, who appeared about 5,000 years ago in Mathura, Gokul, appeared 500 years ago as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Those are the larger deities on the altar here. And although they are Krishna and Balaram, they appeared in the guise of devotees to show us how to be devotees. And in particular, they emphasized the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, especially the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. There are four ages that repeat in cycles, like the four seasons. Satva Yug, Treta Yug, Dwapar Yug, and Kali Yug. And we at present are in Kali Yug, the last of the four ages in the cycle. And from a certain point of view, the worst of the ages, Manda Sumanda Mateo Manda Bhagya Hi Upadritaha. Srimad Bhagavatam describes the characteristics of people in the age of Kali. Kali itself means quarrel, so the age of Kali is the age of quarrel. People quarrel over nothing. They can really become very disturbed over practically nothing. That's also one of the characteristics of people in the age of Kali. They're always disturbed. And their lives are shorter than in previous ages. Their memories are shorter. Srila Prabhupada commented about all the modern equipment we have to record words. We have, of course, in those days, there were tape recorders and typewriters. Now we have computers and iPods. So Srila Prabhupada was saying people are very proud of their advancement, that they have these machines to record sound and words. But actually, in previous ages, people didn't need machines to remember. Just by hearing once from a guru or saintly person, one would remember. There'd be no need of tape recordings, even books. So that is the beginning of spiritual life, hearing, shravanam. And after one hears, one can repeat what one has heard or chant what one has heard, and that is kirtanam. And after hearing, and especially chanting, one can remember Krishna. That is smaranam. And the Vedic literatures are divided in two sections. Shruti, which means that which is heard, and smriti, that which is remembered. So Krishna and Balaram, they came in this age of Kali. The main process they gave was chanting the holy names, but they also encouraged the study of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. And also the worship of the deity, which we see being conducted here. So the same principles that Gaur Nitai taught were brought to us in the Western world by Srila Prabhupada, and the same processes are being executed by his followers. So now we'll read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita about the mood of service of Lord Balaram. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita deals both with Krishna and Balaram, and Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. But to help us understand the mood of Lord Nityananda, who is Balaram, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is explaining the mood of Lord Balaram. So please repeat after me. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila Chapter 5, The Glories of Lord Nityananda Balaram. Text 134. E Rupe Nityananda Ananta Prakasha Se Bhave Kahe Muni Chaitanya Radasa. Lord Nityananda has unlimited incarnations. In transcendental emotion, he calls himself a servant of Lord Chaitanya. Sometimes he serves Lord Chaitanya as his guru, sometimes as his friend, and sometimes as his servant. Just as Lord Balaram played with Lord Krishna in these three different moods in Vraja. Playing like a bull, Lord Balaram fights with Krishna head to head. And sometimes Lord Krishna massages the feet of Lord Balaram. Balaram considers himself a servant and knows Krishna to be his master. Thus he regards himself as a fragment of his plenary portion. Rishyamano Nardanto yuyudate parasparam anukritya rutair jantums cheratu prakritu yata. Acting just like ordinary boys, Krishna and Balaram played like roaring bulls as they fought each other, and they imitated the calls of various animals. This and the following quotation are from the Bhagavatam, 10.11.40 and 10.15.14. Kvachit krida parishrantam gopot sangha pabharatam swayam vishram mayatyaryam padasamvahanadibi. Sometimes when Lord Krishna's elder brother, Lord Balaram, felt tired after playing and lay his head on the lap of a cowherd boy, Lord Krishna himself served him by massaging his lotus feet. So, very nice relationship they have. Kayam va kuta ayata daivi va nare utsuri prayo mayastu me partur danya me pivi mohini. Who is this mystic power, and where has she come from? Is she a demigod or a demoness? She must be the illusory energy of my master, Lord Krishna, for who else can bewilder me? Purport. The playful pastimes of the Lord cause suspicion in the mind of Lord Brahma. And therefore Lord Brahma, to test Krishna's lordship, stole all the Lord's calves and cowherd boys with his own mystic power. Sri Krishna responded, however, by replacing all the calves and boys in the field. Lord Balaram's thoughts of astonishment at such wonderful retaliation are recorded in this verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.13.37. So the pastime here refers to when Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys went into the forest with the calves, and Lord Brahma, the chief demigod in the universe, somehow wanted to test Krishna. Now that was a mistake for him. So while Krishna and Balaram, it's described, Krishna and Balaram were sitting next to each other, and the cowherd boys were sitting around them in circles, and Krishna and Balaram were just like the whirl of a lotus flower. And the cowherd boys were like the petals on the lotus flower. And they were enjoying their picnic lunch. So Lord Brahma, in order to test Krishna and exhibit his own mystic powers, he arranged for the calves to wander away in search of fresh grasses. And naturally that was of concern to the cowherd boys who were entrusted with the care of the calves. So Krishna said, don't worry, I will go and bring the calves back. So when he left to bring the calves, Lord Brahma by his mystic power, stole away all of the cowherd boys, and he also stole away all the cats. But Lord Krishna's mystic power was greater than that of Lord Brahma, so he created a duplicate set of cowherd boys and calves that were exactly like the original ones that Lord Brahma had stolen. So, for 1 year, the cowherd boys and calves were not actually the original cowherd boys and calves, they were actually Krishna, expansions of Krishna. And before then, the parents of the cowherd boys, they actually had more love for Krishna than they had for their own sons. And the cows, they had more love for Krishna than they had for their own calves. So one day, when the cowherd men were herding the cows up above, they saw the cowherd boys and calves below, and the cows became overwhelmed with love for their calves, who were actually Krishna. And they bolted away from the cowherd men and came like jumping down the hill to meet their calves. And they were so filled with love for their calves that they immediately began to suckle them. And their calves were drinking all their milk. And you know, the cowherd men were supposed to keep control of the cows. So they became very angry and frustrated that how is it that the cows just bolted away and now they've given all their milk to the calves? But when the cowherd men came down the hill and saw the boys, who were actually Krishna, they also melted in ecstatic love. And they forgot about all of their anger and frustration. And they began to smell the heads of their boys and embrace them. And they forgot all of their anxieties, of their cares and anxieties. So Lord Balaram, he detected some change of behavior. In the cows and the cowherd men who suddenly had so much affection for their calves and boys. So he was thinking, what's happening? Something very mysterious is happening. So mysterious, in fact, that Lord Balaram himself was perplexed as to what was actually happening. And then he spoke this verse, that what is this mystic power? And then he says, she must be the illusory energy of my master, Lord Krishna. For who else can bewilder me? So the point is, he, even Balaram, has the sentiment of being the servant of Lord Krishna. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, Ekale Ishwara Krishna Arasab Mitya. That Krishna is the one supreme controller and all others are his servants. Even Balaram, his first expansion. Just read a couple of more verses. Text 141. Yasyam gripanka jarajo kila loka palair molyutamarjitamupasita tirtha tirtham Brahma bhavohamapiyasya kala kalaya shishchodvahema chiramasya nripasanam kva. What is the value of a throne to Lord Krishna? The masters of the various planetary systems accept the dust of his lotus feet on their crowned heads. That dust makes the holy places sacred. And even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lakshmi, and I myself, who are all portions of his plenary portion, eternally carry that dust on our heads. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When the Kauravas, to flatter Baladev so that he would become their ally, spoke ill of Sri Krishna, Lord Baladev became angry and spoke this verse. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:68-37. So, this is a very instructive statement by Lord Balaram in many ways. The Kauravas were trying to induce Lord Balaram to become their ally against Krishna. And sometimes it happens between brothers or sisters, there's sibling rivalry. Sometimes even among God brothers and God sisters, there's rivalry. And so if someone is envious of someone else, if you speak ill of the other person, then the first person may be pleased. Oh, like in politics, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And the friend of my enemy is my enemy. So actual devotees have no enemies. But sometimes a person, out of envy, out of his own envious nature, will become inimical towards a devotee without any reason, without any good cause. In fact, Chanakya Pandit says, well, actually, there are different verses about envious people and envious snakes. To the effect that there are two kinds of envious beings, an envious snake and an envious person. But of the two, the envious person is more dangerous because the envious snake can be pacified by medicinal herbs or mantras, whereas the envious person cannot be pacified by any means. So a devotee is without enemies, but still sometimes someone becomes inimical to a devotee out of envy. And these tendencies exist even on the higher levels, among the demigods on the higher planets. They also become envious. They're devotees, but they're materially attached. And because they're materially attached, they're always jealous of their positions, fearful that someone may take their position away from them, or their facilities away from them. And if some sage is engaged in severe austerities, the demigod may send some woman to tempt the sage and make the sage fall down, because they're afraid that if the sage becomes too powerful, their position will be threatened. Or sometimes the king will be performing sacrifices, horse sacrifices, and Indra will arrange to steal the horse, because if a king performs 100 horse sacrifices, he's qualified to become Indra himself. So this type of envy exists even on the higher planets in the society of demigods. And the Kauravas, they didn't really accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they criticized him to Balaram, thinking, Balaram, he might not like, playing second fiddle to Krishna. And so they spoke ill of Krishna, and they accused him of wanting to occupy the throne. So Lord Balaram, he didn't get into it with the Kauravas. Yeah, that Krishna, yeah, I should really be the chief. But he defended Krishna in very beautiful language and thoughts. And he said, what is the value of a throne to Krishna? The rulers of the planets, bow their crowned heads to the lotus feet of Krishna to take the dust from his lotus feet. And what to speak of the rulers of the higher planets, even direct expansions of Krishna and the chief demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and even Balaram himself. They carry the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna on their heads. So he supported his younger brother. Well, the younger brother also is this the source of him and everything else in existence. And so he demonstrated a very good quality of loyalty. Fidelity. Text 142. Ekale Ishwara Krishna Ara Sabha Vritya Yare Yaiche Nachaya Se Taiche Kari Vritya. Lord Krishna alone is the supreme controller, and all others are his servants. They dance as he makes them do so. So here we come to the point that everyone is a servant of Krishna, even Lord Balaram, who is the first expansion of Krishna, considers himself to be the servant of Krishna. And there's also a lesson for us that we should also be servants of Krishna, not of any demigod or material person or material thing. Yes, Queen Kunti recited a very beautiful prayer to Krishna. She prayed that just as the Ganges flows without impediment to the sea, so may my love, she's praying to Krishna directly, may my love flow to you without any impediment, without being diverted to anyone else. So that should be our goal. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kavunai. Love of Krishna is already there within the heart. It's not something to be gained from another source. Chanting and hearing about Krishna in the association of devotees, that dormant love is awakened. So that is our goal, and love for Krishna means, by definition, exclusive love for Krishna, not for anyone else or anything else. Of course, because Krishna is the origin of everyone and everything, we can love others as they are related to Krishna, but not independent of Krishna. Generally, we want to be in the position of Krishna, want to be the enjoyer, the controller, the possessor. Just like we know in theory everything belongs to Krishna, but in practice we feel everything belongs to Krishna, and everything should be enjoyed by Krishna. But just one lady for me, Krishna can have all the others, he can enjoy all the others, just one from me. Or, you know, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, he's the proprietor of all the planetary systems. I agree. He's the proprietor, he's the controller, he's the enjoyer. But still, I'm sure he would want me to have my house where I'm the Lord and Master, where I can be in control and be the proprietor and be the master and be the enjoyer. So we do have that tendency to want to enjoy in the place of Krishna. And therefore, you know, our homes, our family members, our possessions can be for us material objects. And so we don't want our love for Krishna to be impeded by any material attachments. We want it to flow freely to Krishna, directly to Krishna. And in that current of love for Krishna, others can be swept along. That's actually our goal. That's our desire, that others should also be swept along in that current of love for Krishna. And then our relationships remain intact. They become eternal. Because all that love is going to Krishna. And in that process we have loving relationships with each other. But if we try to compete with Krishna, then everything gets spoiled. We can't, those relationships that we're trying to hold on to in competition with Krishna, we can't hold on to them anyway. We can't even hold on to our own body. That'll be taken away. And what to speak of things related to the body, friends, family, and different material comforts. They'll all be taken away. It's a losing battle. Instead of fighting this losing battle against Krishna, it's better to surrender to him and act rightfully as his eternal servant and engage the people to whom we're attached and the things to which we're attached in Krishna's service. Then they're not material attachments anymore. Then they're part of Krishna's entourage, part of Krishna's paraphernalia. And they're as worshipable as Krishna is. They're worthy, you know, worthy of our affection as expansions of Krishna. So, Lord Balaram, just imagine, he's this, the origin of every other incarnation, the origin of the Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu is the origin of Lord Narayan. the origin of words. Nrsimha, but even he considers himself to be the servant of Krishna. And he's happy being the servant of Krishna. He doesn't want to be in any other position other than the servant of Krishna. As the older brother, sometimes he's like the guru or advisor, but that's also in the mood of service. Or he's like a friend playing as equals. It's in the mood of service. Or sometimes he takes a humble position as a servant of Krishna, but however he acts in relation to Krishna, he's in the mood of service, and that makes him happy. And he wouldn't want to trade that position for any other position. So in that way, he's acharya. He's showing the example for us how we should be happy in the position of servants of Krishna. And Balaram is the original spiritual master. From him comes spiritual strength, bala. The Upanishads say that without bala, which comes from Lord Balaram, no one can achieve self-realization. No one can be successful in self-realization. So we need that strength from Lord Balaram. Not the false strength to compete with Krishna, to try to snatch Krishna's property from him and keep it for ourselves so we can enjoy, but the strength to resist the allurements of the material world that confuse us and cloud our consciousness and make us think, you know, why should Krishna be everything? I can also enjoy, I can also, you know. So we need strength to be properly situated as Krishna's eternal servant. The strength to give up the illusion of strength independent of Krishna. So it's a very special opportunity we have today to get Lord Balaram's mercy, to learn from his example how to serve Krishna, be loyal to him, how to be happy in service to Krishna and not want any other position. Learn from his instructions and also pray to him for his mercy, that our love, which is there in our heart, will be awakened. Love for Krishna will be awakened and flow to Krishna without being diverted to anyone or anything else. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. In a purport a little earlier in this chapter, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that, I believe in Hyderabad, two disciples were having an argument over the Rama in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And one said that the Rama refers to Lord Ramachandra, and the other said that the Rama refers to Lord Balaram. And Srila Prabhupada gave the answer that Rama is actually an expansion of Balaram, or they're both expansions of Krishna, and they're the same. Of course, Prabhupada did say it's a very subtle and intricate subject, but in terms of tattva, they're like existential positions, there's really no difference between them, and therefore there's no need to argue, is it Balaram or Ramachandra? Then also we come to the mood of the devotee who's chanting the mantra. Because all of these words, like Hare, of course we, as devotees of Radha and Krishna, we take Hare as the vocative form of address for Hara, which is Radha. But Hare is also the vocative form for Hari. Is that correct? So, if we just want to worship Krishna or any expansion of Krishna, you know, Hare can refer to Hari, and Krishna can refer to any expansion of Krishna. And Rama can also, because Rama means the supreme pleasure. So one could chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in thinking of Lord Balaram. It's no problem. Go on and on. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Hare Hare. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Neetika. That is a good question. Well, Krishna appeared as a cowherd boy at the time of this pastime. He hadn't matured to the Kaishora age associated with Shamsundar, and Lord Brahma, he was bewildered. You see, reading the scripture, it's very easy for us to understand in theory. But, and if you read the descriptions of the cowherd boys, they dressed like Krishna, they played like Krishna, some had flutes, some had buffalo horns. You know, they would decorate themselves with peacock feathers. They didn't know that Krishna was God. If Krishna came in this assembly in disguise, we might not recognize him. And so that was the case, that Krishna was disguised. You know, he appeared just like all the other cowherd boys. Indra also became illusioned. There's so many examples. Even Jambavan, he became illusioned. Jambavan was a great devotee of Lord Ram. He fought for Lord Ram. But in that pastime of the Shamantaka Zool, when he thought that Krishna had stolen it, he was ready to fight with him. And they did fight. And Jambavan was very powerful. And they were fighting and fighting and fighting, and neither one could defeat the other. And eventually Jambavan thought, who else but my Lord Ramchandra could be this powerful? And then, like, he being sort of materially exhausted, you could say, being materially exhausted, he recognized Krishna as his eternal master Ram, and then he surrendered to him. And not only, you know, surrendered the Shamantaka jewel, but gave his daughter, Jambavati, in marriage to Krishna. There's so many examples. The Lord Balaram, Balaram is fond of a beverage called Varuni. And drinking the Varuni beverage, he appears to become intoxicated. Of course, this is all transcendental. But still, when he called the Yamuna to come near him, the Yamuna didn't come. And then he took his plow, and he threatened to open up the Yamuna to just so many channels. Then she realized, oh, this is Lord Balaram, the personality of Godhead. Lord Ramachandra, the same thing. He wanted to cross the ocean, but the ocean didn't want to give way to him. So it's described that he became angry. He glanced at the ocean with red hot burning eyes, and the aquatics in the ocean all became disturbed by the intense heat. And then the ocean personified came forward and surrendered to Ram. And Srila Prabhupada explained that, you know, sometimes we need to be punished. Like sometimes a dog will forget who his master is, and sometimes you have to punish the dog so he understands who his master is and what he's meant to do. So it happened with Krishna, it happened with Balaram, it happened with Ramchandra. And it happened with people who knew them. Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, Yamuna, the ocean, Jambavan. But there's a difference, you know, between reading in the books and actually being able to recognize Krishna when he's in front of you in disguise. Yeah, if Krishna came in with his yellow dhoti, we would recognize him. But when he was appearing as Krishna, all the cowherd boys dressed like him. There's no different. You know, the kings, they also dressed like he did. So if Krishna were to come in, you know, slacks and a t-shirt, we might not recognize him. Until we did something wrong. And he, out of his mercy, let us know who he is so that we come to our senses. That happens. With Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, people didn't recognize him. So these are very confidential. These Leela avatars are very confidential. It's not like Lord Vishnu with four symbols.
What? How do we take it in the right perspective?
Well, let me ask you a question. How did you end up in the material world? Well, it's like the people who are in the material world have turned away from Krishna. So now we have to turn our face toward him. Now, you know, it may be that that you've forgotten how it is that you came into the material world. Actually, we all have. But if you're not envious of Krishna, and if you don't want to compete with him, that's very good. That's very good. I'm glad to hear that. It will be easier for you. All you have to do is serve him.
I think, my perception, nobody would even think about competing with Krishna or think in those terms that I am competing with Krishna or I am the Lord.
Yeah, only very big demons do that consciously. But if say you're working for someone, but you forget the person, or say you have a son, and he forgets you, something wrong. So if we forget Krishna, who's our Supreme Father, there's something wrong. We may take it as a very simple thing. Well, you know, I'm doing my duties and, you know, I forget Krishna, but I mean, he's your father. You're in his house. So for you to forget your father while you're in his house means there's something wrong. Something has to be corrected in your consciousness. So, you know, if you go deep, like, how is it that you could forget your own father in his house? Well, it means there was probably some envy. You wanted to forget him. You didn't like you know, being subordinate to him. Because you didn't like being subordinate to him, you forgot that he's there as the Supreme Father and Master. But still, if you just take it as a matter of forgetfulness, and you undertake a process to remember him, which is this process, chanting, reading, discussing, worshipping the deity, doing service for the mission, that will help you remember him, that will awaken your love for him. And that's fine. You know, we don't really have to go so deep. You know, it's like you're drowning in an ocean and a boat comes and is ready to take you on board. Well, you don't really have to know exactly how you came to be drowning. You just need to get on the ship. So, you know, if you get on the ship of Krishna consciousness, it takes shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, the boat of the lotus feet of Krishna. It's not so necessary to know how you got to be in the position you're in now. And that may be revealed in due course.